I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. Can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
Welcome to Crypt Rick's I've Been Thinking. What's this show all about? Well, it's all in the title. He enjoys interviewing people about issues that he finds interesting and which cause him to sit back and think. Cryptocurrency, true crime, natural law, the occult. No topic is off limits here. He has always enjoyed when people give their points of view or thoughts on different topics that they have researched. And what makes it all great is that it's their unique take on what is being discussed. For that reason alone, it makes it interesting to him. So take that walk down to his crypt. Make yourself comfortable. And just maybe, he will be discussing a topic that you have been thinking about. Here's your host, Crypt Rick.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday night. The cemetery gates are open and we are in the crypt once again. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody in the chat. Hope everybody is having the start to a great week. I know I am. Excited to be here as usual, guys. Right here at revolution.radio, man. This is the number one listener-supported radio station out there. And what is great about this place is that there is so many amazing hosts here that are allowed to talk about what they want. Freedom of speech is alive. No corporate sponsors here. No big sponsors telling us and telling everyone that does shows here what they can talk about, what they're not allowed to talk about. And that, to me, is true freedom of speech, guys. That is worth supporting. I can't say that enough. That is worth supporting. And we have to do that together. There's many ways you can do it because it is listener-supported here, guys. And that means that you guys are what help make this all happen every week, keeps all the amazing hosts here doing their shows 7 days a week, 24/7. There is going to be a host here that you connect with, I guarantee it, maybe even several. So what you got to do, head over to the donation page at revolution.radio, just right at the top there. Many ways you can donate. There is Patreon, which I think is a great one. You just go ahead, choose an amount that you want to donate. Comes out every month. No muss, no fuss. You don't got to worry about it, guys. Also, cryptocurrency, got you covered there. If you want to do cryptocurrency, there's Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and Ethereum. There is also snail mail. Tried, tested, and true, and it does work. It takes a while to get there, but hey, it's also another way to support and to donate. No donations too small, guys. Even small donations, you get enough of them, they add up to something big. So keep it going here, guys. Your support is so greatly needed and so appreciated for everyone who is donating and making sure that Revolution Radio is here every day for you guys. So thank you so much for all your support. Very important stuff, guys. And I always like to kick off my show talking about that because it is that important. And I will keep saying that because I tell you, they are doing their best to silence people. They are doing their they're doing a great job at it, too. I talk to people constantly who are having their content pulled down and even their channels pulled down on some of the bigger platforms. It's crazy, you know, and then they'll be getting in trouble for videos that they've had up there for 5 years. There was no problem. Then all of a sudden, one day, you can't have that topic on your station or on your channel. And what do? They pull it. They flag you. And you get enough of those, they will pull the channel. It's crazy. And it's just getting harder and harder to get truth out there and to even just talk about certain things. So I love it that we can do that here and not have to worry about that. Got a great show lined up. Something totally different here. Usually I do like just one-on-one interviews and kind of have a topic. But this is going to be a fun show. I have a friend of mine, my great friend, Dean, I want to welcome you once again to the Crypt. Now, you have not been on this show, but you were on my Saturday show a while back. And,
you may recognize me from the title, the intro.
I'm sure people are going, that voice sounds familiar. But yes, it is you that did my amazing intro. I love that intro, by the way.
And, I just noticed we have, 114 minutes left. So that's like not even a good movie length right there. So
it's true.
You killed a lot with that intro. I appreciate it because I don't do this often.
Well, no, it's true. But you were on my hour show where we the decompression hour before I went over to now it's the Crypt Rick and Jonathan show, which I love doing every Saturday. But it did start off as the decompression hour where I talked about music and movies, all kinds of things. That was a great interview that I did with you there because you're big in the music, and I've learned so much about hip hop from you because you're more hip hop. Everybody knows I'm more metal. That's no secret. So I've learned a lot from you, and but now I just bring it over to the Hawk's Nest because I can actually play music and then talk about music. So, but it was great to have you on that. That was a lot of fun, that show.
Oh no, same for me because I've learned a lot about just metal. I mean, I know a lot about a lot of music. A little about a lot of music, I should say. I scratch the surface on a lot of things.
You definitely know about hip hop.
You know, yeah, a you lot definitely about know. Metal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make no secret about it. I tell everybody, everything I
you
pretty much learned.
You know more about metal than I know about hip hop. Okay, it just fair. Seems like I know a lot about hip hop because you didn't know anything when I started introducing you. Everything I learned from people who really, really know hip hop. Sort of the same way you know metal. They're the gurus, and I'm the student still.
Well, yeah, but you sang hip hop and stuff. I mean, you've done it. You sang rap, and which I think is incredible because I can't sing to save my life to begin with. But rap to me is I don't know how they do it. I find that way that they sing very tricky, and I can't do it. I try, even if I know the words of the song, I'll try to follow along with them, and it's just a whole different feel than the heavy metal and rock. Side of singing, so I find that amazing when people like you can actually get back and sing these lyrics. It's incredible to me.
Yeah, I started doing it at a very, very early age. It seemed natural to me amongst the people that I was doing it with, and that's what kept me into it. Was I was just good at it. It didn't take a lot of work, but I also didn't progress as far as they have. A lot of the people are still doing it, or even in the few years that we did it, a lot of people ended up leaps and bounds ahead of me just because of the effort they were putting in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but it's cruel. I mean, you did
I learned so much. It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
you know, actually in the studio and doing stuff, and it's really incredible. I that's why I'm a big fan of music, and I'm glad that I kind of learned a lot from hip-hop and started diving into that through you and some other people, because it opened me up to a whole new world of music. I was very, very set in my ways growing up. It was, if it wasn't rock and it wasn't metal, I didn't want to hear it. And then as I got older, I started to listen to things, and other genres started to grow on me. Hip hop is one of them, though I have found out I'm very particular about the type of rap I like.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You definitely have a sound that you enjoy. It's sort of like almost like a raw and aggressive type of rap. Not necessarily dark, which you like the dark kind of metal, but your rap, you don't like it as dark. You like it a bit more grungy.
Yeah, there's something, I don't know. Yeah, like you were trying to explain that to me, like energetic or...
It's like rough energy. Yeah, it's rough, but it has an up-tempo.
Yeah,
You don't like slow stuff. And you'd prefer a fast lyricist over a slow lyricist.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, like that's why I never got into Snoop Dogg. I have had many friends try to get me in. I think I've listened to pretty much every one of his songs, and I'm like, don't like it, don't like it.
It makes sense. He has very, very few songs that were up-tempo because that's what he's all swag. He's just slow flow, and that's the way he does it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas you listened to a lot of Eminem. That was sort of your bridge into hip-hop.
Oh, absolutely.
And Eminem can go as fast as anybody. So.
Oh, my, yeah, he's incredible. Like, yeah, he's definitely incredible. But yeah, because I grew up, like, back in the 80s, that's when, like, I'm trying to remember what hip-hop I first, I'm pretty sure it was probably N.W.A. was what
that
really got
late,
me.
The late 80s, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then Two Live Crew, I remember them. They were kind of like the comedy side of...
I'd say the first thing that you would have heard was Run DMC.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Dean, because, and then they did that, that do they kind of feature with Aerosmith. They did Walk This Way. They redid, and that's what put Aerosmith back on the map, because Aerosmith was not in a good spot there for a while. And
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they sort of backed off of the birth of hip hop.
Yeah, I remember that. Wow.
Rebirth their rock career.
Oh, yeah. It rejuvenated Aerosmith's career, in my opinion. They were going really, they weren't.
Well, and then Armageddon came out, and that song that they had for the movie Armageddon with Bruce Willis. Whew,
Did it again.
That was their second come around, you know?
That's
using
hip hop, huge.
Using Hollywood. Hey, they're smart.
A huge song, too. I forgot about it Armageddon. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That was the big one. I'm trying to think. Now, for the love of me, because I'm on the spot, I can't remember it, but it was coming.
One of their only slow songs that was popular and not one that we would choose to listen to.
Anyway. I know. Somebody in the chat, help me out. What was that song for Aerosmith on Armageddon? If anyone's in there listening to the chat, anyways, it'll come to me. If I sit here, I'm going to pause for 20 minutes.
Yeah, same here. I'll blurt it in about 20 seconds. Just keep going. Do your thing, Crip Rick.
Well, no, I want to let people know. I've kind of talked about how my whole idea of my show started, and at one time, you were one of the original people that we used to. And just to give people a backstory, Dean and I both used to live in the same apartment building in the same complex. And what we would do, there was me, Dean, and like four other guys, and we would night owls, as I am. Mostly, I used to be way worse than I am now. I kind of try to get to bed earlier, but back then I was up all night, and so was this crew, Dean, and a bunch of us other guys that lived in the complex, and we would sit on the step all night, like probably from like 10 at night till like 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. Like the sun would be coming up, and we would sit there and just talk about stuff going on in the world. Like we had some amazing conversations. I mean, we would about anything. There was no topic that was off limits.
Thinking back on those memories, I don't want to miss a thing.
That's it. That's it. There you go.
It just pops up. I had to do that. But yeah, no, that's when we met. That's the first idea for your show was, hey, we're all just sitting around talking about random things, teaching each other things. Why don't we record these conversations?
Yep. And then we were going to, like, I was like, what are we going to call it? Talking on the step, Crip Rick on the step. Like I had to have something with step, not knowing back then anything about podcasting or like how hard that would be to set up audio wise. Because I mean, even at those late hours, yeah, like it'd be a nightmare. Cause even at those late hours,
complex.
You remember that complex? It was buzzing like all night.
Oh yeah.
So maybe how would all. You,
there was so many people from, you know, basically a government assisted housing up to people that were making 70K just saving money.
Yeah.
And so you had all walks of life, night owls, weird people that digging through at dumpsters that probably didn't even live there. Yeah. It's quite the place. Quite the place.
Yeah. I met a few weird people in that parking lot.
We lived right behind a freaking honky tonk bar.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the bar that I DJed at for a couple of years too. And, I think we single-handedly kept that store, though, next door in business just by our coffee sales for that whole summer, because we would just go back and forth like all night, like every 20 minutes. It'd be like, go get a round of coffee, go get a round of coffee. So I'm sure that they said, like, we probably kept them in the green at those late hours.
Cheap. Pretty cheap to stock a coffee machine.
That's true.
$2 a cup.
That's true.
Good money.
Yeah, and then, but we got our back because we used to take the Irish cream creamers. And we used to mix that in our coffees, and I think we drank, like, eventually he wouldn't even put them out. He would just be, I think he stopped putting them out because we just would drink them, like, drain it every night. So I think he was thinking, this is crazy.
Like, hey, man, where's the good stuff? I know you've got that good stuff behind the counter.
It's so true. It's so true. But yeah, that was the original concept of my show, was that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to eventually do a camera and then have every, I don't know how, what I was thinking, how I would audio mic that to have all, like all of us talking. It would have been a disaster, but I didn't know better back then. But that's where my original idea came from. I wanted to, because we would have these amazing conversations. And as people know, I love, that's why I do interviews. I love to interview anyone. I think anybody has an amazing story. It's their unique story, and that's why I love it. And I think that everybody's got a story to tell in their own way. They all have different experiences in life. That's what makes it interesting to me. Absolutely. So we just had these amazing conversations. I still remember that. I look back at that as a great time where I met you, my best friend, met so many other incredible people that I've lost touch with, a lot of them, but, you know, people move on. But
oh, that's
those
how
conversations,
it goes, right?
Yeah.
You meet 20 people and you might keep in touch with one.
Yeah.
It seems that way, right? Like how many people you've been really close with in your life and it just will never talk to again.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. And it really bothers me that that happens because I've met a lot of cool people and then but it happens. I mean, I get it. People's lives go on and that, but we just, those conversations that we had about so many, and it would be any topic and we would kind of weigh in on it. And then you know, it was a neat part of it. I like, Dean, was that you would get so many different points of view. So you would have like five guys and then one person have a point of view and then somebody would chime in and it would build and build and build. And then at the end of the day, nobody was arguing. Nobody was fighting. Nobody hated each other. We just went our separate ways. And then
usually everyone, or at least someone would learn something.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah. At least it got them thinking. And then, you know, we'd meet back and we did this all summer. Like it wasn't like a one-off thing. We would do this every night. It was something I look forward to, is this just meeting up on the step and having great conversations. So I guess that's the birth of where my show idea came from in a rough sense that you were part of, you know, you were kind of sitting there right there at the infancy stage of it, us thinking through and how this would happen. And I'm excited because me and you're now talking about maybe doing a show for YouTube or Rumble, whatever platform we're going to choose, where we're going to kind of, you have an idea of where you want to bring articles or clips for me to watch and then get my reaction.
Yeah, sort of current events.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Gotta throw a last hole down the rabbit hole and try and get you by your bootstraps first and dig you back up out of all these conspiracy theories that I myself 100% believe in, but let's do some current event stuff too. You keep doing your thing and yeah.
We can do, yeah, definitely. Well, you're always sending me clips of all these different things, which I think is great. I love it. I look forward to you when you send me these things and I'm like, oh, what's Dean sending me now? And you're pretty up to date on what's going on and checking things out. And I learn a lot from you because now it's not a group of us sitting on a step. It's me and you usually on my step or your step. And we're sitting there, you know, for hours on end talking about what's going on in the world. So you're definitely bringing me more up to date because I'm not somebody that's really political. As most people know, I'm not big into studying politics or what's going on because at an early age, I just knew that it was all a sham. I knew it was a puppet show kind of going on. Mm-hmm. So I never paid much attention, but you've kind of given me new eyes to that and to kind of educate me on the different aspects of it and, you know, what's going on and stuff. So it's really interesting, the clips that you sent me.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say two things to that. Well, I guess, I mean, yeah, I'm learning as well, right? Like, so I'm teaching you, but I really don't know as much as I wish I did. I've followed politics for a long time, but, I mean, I knew nothing at all. My brother would show me things and I found it interesting because Jon Stewart was funny and I would watch The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. And because I found it interesting, I was like, you know what? I'm embarrassed. I don't know enough about this. So I spent a lot of time understanding where the political boundaries are, you know, what the major issues are in each party. And that has just changed so much in the last 5 years that there's a lot to talk about today.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That really helps. That helps a lot with this new idea that we have is the world is absolutely nuts. So
I was just saying, hi,
it's always been
in the chat.
It's always been nuts. Yeah. You've always covered that, but in the last few months, especially in the last few years.
I was going to say the last few years are shocking to me, and it's what got me into the game, kind of wanting to get out and talk about it, because when COVID first hit, you know, I just saw what it did to people and what it's doing to people now, and it really shocked me. It just showed to me how entrenched people are really into this system of, you know, they hear what's on the news or they read about it, and, you know, they just seem not even to put any thought into it. They just go right along with it. And I was just really shocked. So that's when I realized what we were up against. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, I always remind people, they shut the world down. Like, I mean, that, like, if I would have told you that 5 years ago, that they're going to shut the world down, like the whole world's going to stop, basically, in most places. There was a few places that resisted, and I wish I was there at the time, but it, you know, they shut the world down. And I just realized, like, wow, they've really got people dialed in and working on their people's fear. And so it was really shocking to me.
Yeah, it's it's really eye-opening when you see all the things going on right now and you piece it all together and you see what one news organization is showing and what another showing. And they, and it's almost as if they're regurgitating the exact same word-for-word talking point that they've all been faxed by somebody. And
Right.
It's unbelievable the air quote coincidences that all seem to, you know, it just takes time. It just takes time, and all those things that seem odd come true.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. You can't trust any politician these days that is high up. Maybe grassroots, small, you know, local politicians. There's still some good there, but as soon as
you got more faith than I do.
As soon as you get way, way, way up there, you've already been bought. So
yeah, that's what
change
I want.
Needs
that's
to come from people. No,
yeah,
it's not politicians. You gotta. That's what loud enough and stubborn enough not to go with all the. Well, you know.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
You didn't get the job for a reason, right?
Well, yeah. I knew. Yeah, I really was against that. And if you want to tell your story about it, I mean, that's up to you. I mean, at least you are willing to talk about it, and I was against it from day one. I just and only because it was so new and they were so quick to rush it out. And I was like, wow, like we don't know anything about this. Like, and people were lining up. And then next thing, and then what really creeped me out is after a little while, then they were like, the pharmacy was texting me and like, oh, come on in, you got to come in, and guilting me. And it was just this really dark agenda that was going on. But do you want to talk about like your situation with the vax and where you stand with it? If you don't want to, that's cool.
No, totally. So yeah, I mean, I think I went maybe a year with the vaccines all being out, before I ended up getting. And the reason that I got it is because I ended up needing to go to rehab, and I couldn't get in without having two vaccines. So I was, I took one before I went. They scheduled one for me to have the second one there the first week I was there. And that was that. When I got back, I think it was maybe 6 months later, you started hearing all these things about, you know, vaccine injury and, myocarditis, all the age groups that I fell into specifically.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Luckily I've had no ill effects at all, but I didn't want to get the vax. I wouldn't say I was pressured into it. You know, I made the choice to do it because I knew I needed to go and do that for myself. So that was the choice I made, and luckily I'm okay. But I do know people that aren't okay.
Yeah, me too.
I know a few people who aren't here anymore, and I'm not positive, but I'm fairly suspicious.
Yeah, me too. There's definitely, we both know a couple, like at least one person that is definitely suspicious. And
I've never been against the vaccine. I've always been for every vaccine. I always thought anti-vaxxers before COVID were absolutely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when something isn't tested and seems crazy,
yeah,
it's probably not a good idea. And it turns out it definitely was not a good idea.
Nope, that's so true. And you're definitely not for the boosters. I know that. I've talked to you about that, and you're like, nope, not doing it.
I've talked to multiple family members out of getting those now.
I'm trying, man, but I got a few family members. They're stubborn, and they just fully bought into what they're hearing on the news every day, and so I'm just at the point now where it's like I'm done trying. I mean,
well, that's it. Like, in our parents' generation, you used to be able to actually trust the news. Like, you could, mm-hmm. you know, there were some things in the newspaper that weren't correct, that had an agenda. Usually, if it was a blatant lie, though, or a blatant mistake, they would correct themselves. They don't correct themselves anymore. Not even close. They just keep regurgitating the same crap, or they tell you a half truth and never even acknowledge.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, and that's a great point too. Back in, at least in when we were younger, there was some resemblance of truth in the news a little bit. I mean, you like they at least now.
Well, they have. I don't know. I mean, I'm fairly certain there's always been corruption, but at least there was some sort of like veil of integrity. They don't even try to be they don't even try to have integrity anymore.
No, why do they need it, right? The people will still buy it. If you're watching it, they're going to buy it, right? So why? Yeah, they're very blatant about it now.
Yeah, it was almost like it's almost like the news was like respectable of people. They're like they didn't think we were as dumb as they clearly do now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But you're so right. And then, like, I'm definitely know you're against getting any of the boosters. That's for sure. So that's cool. I mean, you know, you got to get the two. I get it. I mean, but at least you're willing to talk about it. And
no, that's right. I had to do what I had to do, but I wouldn't suggest anyone do it. You know,
yeah.
If you're incredibly obese, if you have like really bad cancer or, you know, some insane respiratory illness, I mean, I guess then you take that chance. Like, maybe the COVID vaccine is, can I say that?
Yes.
I figured I could. All right, so, I'm just so used to watching YouTube and seeing everybody say a jab.
I know, everybody. Yeah, COVID.
Yeah,
if
you had
code.
All those, what are they called? They're called comorbidities, right? Like something, some underlying factor or some illness that makes you more susceptible to death from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Right, anyone in that age, like yeah for sure, and that's yeah I agree with
my parents got
a choice to take it in that but now with a lot of stuff that we know, it's like my dad's 74 and he didn't need it. He's healthier.
I know your dad's
healthy as I am. Yeah, you know,
your dad's a freak, man. Like,
he would never have needed that, you know.
No, definitely not. Yeah, like your dad is not a guy that needs that. He's so active, like, and in good shape. I'm just like, okay. But I mean, I get it. Older people too. That's why that's my parents' argument too. Is that, you know, they're up in age and stuff like that, so they get their flu shots and all that. And I tried to talk to them out of it, but there's a point where it's like, well, they know where I stand.
Also, got
to
think about it. Like, they were stressed out. They were worried about getting it. And maybe the placebo effect of having the vaccine actually, you know, having stress lifted off their body increases their immune system. You know, you don't know these things. It could have been a positive them getting it. But
it could,
I think
you're right.
On a whole, it was never a positive thing, and it was always about money. So,
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and we got some clips, guys. This is totally new to me. This was kind of like Dean's suggestion, too, is that we're going to grab – I think we got like 5 clips that we're going to play over the next hour and a bit, and just on some different topics. You kind of picked out a few things, so we can definitely pause and chat about this. But the first one that we got is we found it on YouTube, or you did. It's called "We Moved On, They Haven't," and this is kind of right in the vein of what we're talking about with the whole COVID thing and that. So
this is a subject we haven't really touched on COVID though, but it is nice.
It's in the same vein though.
It's in the same vein, yeah. But yeah, we haven't talked about this part, and this is definitely a part that everyone is going to be very familiar with. Everyone knows
Absolutely.
Someone like this, or at least has seen them walk in the streets.
All right, so I'm going to play it. Let me know if you can hear it there, Dean. Because like I said, I apologize, guys, if it doesn't work. I think it will, but I'm not used to playing clips yet, so I'm kind of feeling my way through this as we go. But if you can hear it, then I'm sure everyone else can. Let me know in the chat if you guys can hear it. But I think we got you covered here. And if you want me to pause anywhere, Dean, and you want to make a point or comment or anything, just say pause, and I will pause it for us.
All right,
let's go ahead and fire this up. So this is the first one.
Welcome back to the comments section. I'm Brett Cooper. I am very sad to tell you all that I have stumbled on probably the worst corner of TikTok. Not the most disgusting, but probably one of the most depressing sides
of social media.
Haven't
downloaded TikTok yet.
It's the COVID conscious people. The COVID conscious people that are still living in fear, even in 2023. And we are going to watch some of those videos today. But before we do, make sure that you like this video, subscribe to the channel if you have not already, and ring that notification.
I should say that before we go on, you're not a fan of TikTok at all.
No, not at all. But let's say before we move on, that this is a video from the comments section with Brett Cooper.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where we found this video. It's because she's saying, you know, like, subscribe and do all those things. And I mean, we should at least shout out her channel that this is where we found this video.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like I said,
with Brett Cooper. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. And it's called We Moved On. They Haven't. So let's go ahead and fire this up.
Notification bell so that you never miss a comment section or off the clock episode. So these COVID consciousers, which is what I'm going to call them, are probably the softest group of people I have ever seen. They are incredibly risk averse and they are terrified of the world around them. But it's not just that they are afraid to go outside unmasked and re-enter the real world. They are angry that we are flourishing, that we are in our lanes, that we are thriving outside, touching grass, kicking rocks, unmasked. They are so angry. Your old self in this trend is how everybody else feels about you. You're still barely leaving the house and taking precautions when you go outside and wearing N95s. Grow a pair. I actually don't know whether you're male or female, so grow a pair, regardless. Somebody said, masking family here, wild milestone when my COVID baby aged into his own mask.
Okay, pause that.
Hold up. Hey, wait hold a minute.
I'm sorry.
Hold
what?
Up. Wait a minute.
That's all right, crazy. So
yeah, exactly. Like, I was in the mall the other day, and there's the same thing, like a whole family of masked people, and the only one not wearing a mask was the baby, right? And I'm thinking to myself, really? Like, why are you all wearing masks in a building where no one else is wearing a mask and your precious little baby isn't wearing a mask? So if you think masks are that important, wouldn't you have someone stay home with the baby?
Good point.
Like, if you really thought that masks were a purpose, like served a purpose and were saving you, wouldn't you just keep your baby out of that environment?
I would.
It would be like it would be like wearing a hazmat suit because there's radiation everywhere, but the hazmat suit doesn't fit your baby. So, you know, just throw him in the stroller.
We'll go for a walk. Don't worry about it. We're covered.
But it's okay because apparently the family that she's about to talk about, the baby grew into the mask. So
oh, well,
they're
okay.
Going to be okay. Yeah.
They're going to be okay then. All right. Let's go ahead here. Like, yeah, this gets crazy. All right, let's go.
What? So you're 3-year-old. I'm guessing you are masking now in 2023. I'm so sorry for your children. Like, genuinely, that's so sad. The creator said, wow, I can't even imagine. Heart. No, why is anybody hearting this? That's awful. That poor kid. He responds to haters. I don't really know. Responds to haters all the time and people in his comment section. There's another one.
So I'm going to block you after this because you're continuing to spread misinformation in my comment section even after being presented with facts. You saying that there is no longer a risk to the degree that y'all are saying there is just false. The downplaying of this virus is honestly just exhausting at this point. I don't understand how we're just ignoring the millions of people who have died. In the millions of people who have long COVID and have been left permanently disabled. I would argue that you are the delusional one. You are the one not operating in reality. But mask up. Have a good day.
Guys.
Oh, all right. Gotta mask up, Dean.
Yeah, I won't be doing that, but I'll have a great day.
I went in and I wore it. And then after the first, after that time, I was like, I'm done.
I had I had an eye surgery. Mm-hmm. So I remember being forced to wear my mask for that. I don't think I ever wore it properly. I remember having to go into Shoppers a few times with you. Mm-hmm. And I always had an extra mask that you could throw on and wear also not properly. So we could just, you know, get through the whole rigmarole of it all.
Or the famous, pull the T-shirt over your face. Everybody was happy with that. I mean, I just pulled the shirt up over my nose and I'd be like, really? And people were cool. They were like,
looks
no worries.
Like you're coming in to empty a bunch of people's pockets with a gun or something, but that's okay.
Going into banks and that. Wearing
I remember masks. That being the first thing I said was like, is everyone's just okay with everyone looking like bank robbers and assassins now? You know, that's just what the world's come to. Everyone's just like, it used to be illegal to walk into a store with a mask on.
Now
it's mandatory.
Now it's illegal, and basically if you don't, gotta put that mask on. Yeah, the people walking in like the bank robbers of the Old West with the bandanas over their face.
Yeah,
and...
exactly. Yeah.
God.
So you'd have a bunch of guys thinking they're cool, right? Wearing their hoodies and their bandanas. And they legit looked like they were ready to stick the place up.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so right. I still giggle, though, too, at the T-shirt over the face. And no, that's not protecting anything. But people were like, oh, he's cool. You're all right. All right. I'm just like, okay. I mean, it just shows you, though, how crazy this is. It really does. But we'll continue here. This is crazy. But anyways.
This was posted 3 days ago. The downplaying of this virus is just
this
awful.
Video came out
we have bigger fish
ago.
To fry now.
So 15 days ago.
Ooh, that's his name.
That guy posted that.
You are the one that is so delusional and not operating in reality.
What's up?
She just said his name. I wanted to hear what his name was.
Oh, okay, let me see if I can go back here. Yeah, now you're making me go back.
No, right there. No, not that far. That's fine. That's a good
one. All right, we'll go here.
The one not operating in
reality. I'm getting better at this, guys. We'll get better as we go.
Guys, this was posted 3 days ago. The downplaying of this virus is just awful. We have bigger fish to fry now. Sin. Ooh, that's his name. Oh.
His name is
you
Sin.
You are the one that is still delusional and not operating in reality. Oh. Obviously, the virus impacted people. Obviously, it was terrible and people did die of COVID. But if you came into a hospital and you wrecked your car and you did have COVID, that was marked as a COVID death. Those are the numbers that you're talking about. And obviously, long COVID is a thing for a very small portion of people. And because
of that,
you are still living in perpetual...
Yeah, that's a thing. I kind of hear buzzings of that when I'm doing my research about other things. And yeah, they're talking about this long COVID.
On long COVID. Long COVID, real or fake?
Yeah, long COVID, real or fake. But it's so crazy, too. And she's right, too. That she's not lying that... You know, if you went into the hospital for whatever reason and you passed away and you did test for COVID, that it was marked as a COVID death.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So
I remember all the studies coming out reporting.
Yeah. And wait till we probably only heard a half of it, Dean. Imagine when they really start, if they ever do really start diving in and.
Yeah, there's a lot of people getting in trouble for not keeping the proper information. But a lot of hospitals did keep the proper information. And a lot of the stats that are coming out now are shocking.
They really sold
it. They kept
that
lie going a long time.
Well, it's still working. There's still people. I still see people out and about. Not as many, definitely.
They still advertise the vaccine at every pharmacy that I go to.
Yeah,
drive by. Yeah.
And then you got people still wearing masks. The odd person, and I'm just like, all right, well. Continue, I guess, but all right, let's go ahead and see what else is going on here.
Actual fear because it's comfortable to you, and then you're attacking people in your comment section who have a different idea of the world and are not living in fear. I'm sorry that you are insecure about your insecurities. Go deal with that somewhere else. It's not our problem, seriously. Here's another person. She's angry for sure.
I am one of those people that takes COVID precautions still pretty freaking seriously. I don't go many places. I mask up when I'm in public. I always try to make sure things happen outdoors if I can, but I also know that that is not an effective way to change people's hearts, minds, opinions, behaviors.
I'm glad that she at least realizes that the infographics that everybody was posting on Instagram literally do nothing. Everybody posts the exact same ones. I swipe right through those, baby girl. I do not read them at all. Literally not in the slightest. Oh God, this one? This is a therapist. People go to him for advice. Okay.
So I've been hearing reports that some mental health therapists are giving the diagnosis of anxiety to people who can choose to continue to wear a mask and protect themselves from COVID.
Yeah, no shit. Those sound like great therapists because you have a problem because you're still not going outside, especially with like the matching green mask. Why is he wearing a mask indoors? Why? It looks like he's in his dingy apartment. Wearing a mask by himself trying to prove a point.
Guy.
Bro, come on.
I know. You guys, you got to go check this out, guys. Like I said, just type in we moved on, they haven't, and it will pop up. It'll pop right up on YouTube and just watch, like go and fast forward to this guy.
Oh, this is great.
I know. He's got oh my God.
Looks
we affectionately
like the
call him Darth Vader.
The Penguin's brother.
Oh, he's got, something going on here. But
doesn't he look like, the Penguin from Batman?
Yeah, yep. and he looks like Darth Vader when he breathes in. He's got the whole,
mask sucks in when he breathes. That's great.
I hope people go check this out. It'll be, you'll see what we're talking about.
you are a half-decent therapist, you know the importance of understanding your client's motivations. If you don't understand where your client is coming from, then it's incumbent on you to put yourself in their shoes. Does your client have health conditions that make them particularly vulnerable to COVID? What led them to conclude that they still need to take precautions? If you, as a therapist, are pathologizing your client's response to COVID, you obviously must think that sweeping things under the rug is a mentally healthy thing to do.
You know what? I would not call it sweeping things under the rug. I would call it putting on your big girl pants, realizing that the world does not revolve around you, and dealing with the life that is in front of you. It's called being an adult. It is called interacting with the real world. Adults' hands do not need to be held as they are going through their daily life. Like, please, stop. Also, he is wheezing under this mask.
Yeah, pause it there.
I have a tap.
Well, that's a good point that you made there. It's like, you don't ever get ahead in life by being a victim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't make you tougher. It doesn't prepare you for the next turmoil, right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's a great point, man. Like, yeah, and a lot of people are in that victim mentality state of mind.
And I'm not bashing therapy. Like, therapy is important, but a therapist can't enable someone to be a wimp about something that is obvious. You can't stay inside. You can't hide your face the rest of your life. You know.
Yeah.
That's going to just destroy you socially. It's going to ruin your social skills. And it's going to make you not trust anybody because they're not wearing a mask and you are. Yeah. So, yeah.
You make great points. You got to get outside. I know I did. I didn't really let it affect me in any way. I just went on with life as normal. But it did, it did affect a lot of people.
Everybody was affected in some way. I mean, yeah. I'm sure this whole thing made a lot of people stronger mentally.
Yeah.
But a lot more people weaker.
Yeah, and destroyed people. Like, that's the most frustrating part, Dean, is that the damage that it did. Like, there's so many people that lost family, like, their families were destroyed, like, family members not talking to each other and fighting, and then probably still to this day not talking. People that lost their livelihoods, their jobs, their businesses. This ripple effect is huge, you know. And it's so frustrating.
I think that's why I'm so frustrated lately. And why I wanted to do this whole thing, because it seems like every single day there's another huge lie by the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that 5-10 years ago would have been the biggest story ever. But it seems like it's every few days now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you send me a clip every couple, like usually every day or two, sending me something else. And it's not even like they really, like they'll just hit a story, and then a day or two later a new one, and then a day or two later a new one. And I tell people that's that state of fear they keep people in constant.
That's right.
Wow. All right, let's keep going. This is crazy. We're only like halfway through it.
Add bit of empathy, because he obviously is overweight, and so as a result you are very much more at risk of contracting COVID. But also, he posted this 6 days ago, 2023. Again, how many times do I have to say this? This is not 2021, not 2020. It's over. It's done.
If you're not taking these very basic steps to understand your client, then frankly, you suck at being a therapist and your client deserves better than you.
No.
That's
empowering
a bold
your client
he doesn't sound very
to buckle up and deal with it, that is not a shitty therapist. That's a good mentor.
Secondly, I think it's important for
there we go.
All mental health professionals to understand that there is
For everybody that he just took his mask off.
He took his mask off. Here we go.
His cat must have left the room. Left the room, so he wasn't going to contaminate anybody with the COVID. So
in his own house.
Yeah,
in his own house. Okay, that's good. We got to make that people realize that he's in his own house.
We don't know it's his house. It could be his mom's house. It's probably his mom's house.
Okay, good point. Good point.
Yes. That our society as a whole engages in. Whether it's COVID, climate change, or something else, modern society likes to carry on as if everything will be all right. The sci-fi satire Don't Look Up, I think, speaks volumes about how our society actually handles difficult to solve
information. Pause it.
There has been this urge jump the gun.
Do you know what movie he's talking about?
Mm-mm.
A movie just came out recently, well, not recently, last year, called Don't Look Up, where an amateur astronomer spots an asteroid, like a planet killer, coming for Earth.
Okay.
Warns the president, and the president just sort of brushes it off. And it's just like a, it's like, it's a satire comedy about how dumb politicians are and how much they don't actually care about the world. They just care about themselves and ratings and all these things, right?
Right.
Like how politics has sort of turned into a show.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just a front for other people to do what they want to do behind the scenes, right? And that's what this movie is about that he's talking about.
I have to check this movie out.
So, yeah, so just go back maybe 10 seconds and then you might understand that a bit more.
All right. I'll go back this far. There we go. Let's see if I got it.
Ashley handles difficult to swallow information. There has been this urge to jump the gun in an imaginary race back to normal.
Jumping the gun? It has been 3 years. Have you not seen literally all the reports from the last 2 months that literally masking did nothing? That even N95s were not as effective because most were not fitted to people's faces. They were not worn properly. It did nothing.
My source is that I made it the f*** up.
All of this is finally coming out. Now, I'm glad that all of this is out in the open and people know that they were lied to now. But it doesn't change what happened over the last 3 years, that people were literally lied to. It doesn't change that lives were lost because doctors weren't able to or didn't want to prescribe the right kind of medicine or treatment. It does not change the fact that an entire new generation of kids was born and started being raised within their homes, just sitting in front of their TVs because their parents were too afraid to let them outside. It doesn't change the fact that now we have all of these stunted, soft adults who are still terrified to go outside because the media and the government lied to them. This is not jumping the gun. We got back to normal way too late. None of this should have happened in the first place. You need to wake up. Now, in this video, he goes on and he shows people where they can go online and find therapists that are still COVID conscious and will respect them and their journey of going back out into the real world. No, if you are that concerned with finding a therapist who is going to affirm your problems, that is the first problem. You do not go to therapy to affirm your issues. You go to therapy to heal, to get better, to realize your bad, unhealthy patterns and fix them. And that is coming from somebody who literally spent years in therapy. And
she's not lying, Dean.
Nope, not at all.
She's throwing some heat there. She's kind of touching on what we just said.
I think a big point she made there is like what this all did to kids, right?
Yep.
Like, oh, man. And I know I've got a 7-year-old and the school system is absolutely a mess. There's so many behavioral issues. Wow. Like the teachers, like every single teacher and teacher helper has been abused by some kid in some way or some parent, right? Or
really?
There's bullying. It's really, really bad because these kids were cooped up for so long. You know, they're frustrated because they don't know how to read and write at their grade level.
Yeah.
Because they missed 2 years, you know?
Yep. Oh, I remember when parents were even
after
a few months.
And it's not that they
missed
2 years. They were there, but online learning didn't work, you know?
that's so true. And I'm thinking I was going to make a great point. Hold on. It'll come to me again, guys. Sorry, I got 100 things going through my head. But you are right about the school system. And it what's really crazy is that leaving your kids cooped up like that. I remember watching YouTube videos even a couple months into the lockdowns where parents were on YouTube going, you got to get my kid back into school. You know, yeah. I can't deal with it. I'm with my kid 24/7 and I got to cook for them and I got to look after them. And I'm thinking, wow, well, you wanted to be a parent. But it shows the mentality of people that even parents like, okay, you chose to be a parent. Even if you didn't choose to be a parent, you're a parent. You have responsibilities, and it's just crazy to me that they're complaining that they're around their kid too much. And I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
So there's this whole crazy thing going on.
Yeah. No, I mean, wow. I understand what maybe some of them would have meant but they definitely didn't say it right. If that's how it came across.
Exactly.
So some people they got to work, right? They got to go to work 8-10 hours a day. You
Good
know,
point.
5, 6, 7 days a week, some people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have multiple jobs, and they rely on their kids being in school and aftercare programs.
Good point. Yeah, good point.
When they're
point.
Stuck at home all the time, they can't work anymore. They can't afford a babysitter. They don't have family to help them. A lot of people lost their jobs because they had to become full-time care providers for their children that they never spent the day with, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
so
you make great points.
I do understand that part of it, but you're right. I mean, no parent should ever complain about having to do things with their child.
Yeah, but no, but it does. You make a good point. I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm, you know, you're bringing it from a different angle, and I see what you're saying. Like, I mean, because of the way the world is,
yeah,
parents are obligated. You know, usually both parents. I was very fortunate. I had a parent home with me when I was younger. Like, my mom stayed home. She was a stay at home mom, and so I had that. And I'm really, you know, I found out very quickly that in this day and age, that is so rare. Because of like the cost of living, like you have both parents having to work full time jobs, they're not getting a lot of quality time with their children. So you make a good point that if you got both parents working and have nobody to help raise the children,
yeah,
I get it, I get it. So great point.
Yeah, and
man.
I think that's why a lot of people rely on their parents these days when they become parents. You know, there's a lot of grandparents that have taken on like a more hands on role when it comes to parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the cheapest babysitter? It's grandma. Yeah, it's grandpa.
Yeah, that's so. And Lisa, you know, and you know who's watching your child.
Well, you know, they
love
them.
Which is a great plus.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And they always treat them better than they treated you growing up.
Well, yeah, isn't that the truth? God, I'm just thinking of that. You're right, too. You're so right. But, you know, at least
people
not...
who have that big village, you know, that takes a village to raise a kid, right?
Yeah.
And people that have that were lucky. People that didn't probably lost their job.
Yeah,
or had to drastically change their life and went through heck.
Yeah, good points, man. Good points. I'm glad you brought that up. That was a good angle. Good point. Like, I mean, I just makes you think about it in a whole different way. So great point.
Is not anymore because I think I did it right. Somebody commented and said, I stopped seeing my therapist because she thought I was being an alarmist about continuing to wear a mask in the spring of 2022. Sounds like a great therapist because you were. Factually, another girl said,
I was told I was making my depression worse
by isolating myself, aka not going out often because I don't feel safe around maskless people.
That is the third saddest thing I've heard today.
Hey, you literally were. Isolating yourself does make depression worse. Your therapist was trying to help you. That is not an attack. That is pointing out behaviors that could be leading to your personality problems and your mental health issues. That is what they are supposed to do. Really is not that complicated. Like, suck it up. Those therapists actually seem to care about you and your well-being, which is what they are supposed to do. God, this woman also has crazy eyes. She makes a ton of videos with like her entire personality.
If anyone who is organizing a large event tells you that they can't put COVID mitigation policies into place, it's bullshit. And I'll tell you why. This is the policies for Super MAGFest this year. Basically, you had to have your original series of vaccines for COVID.
Oh, good.
And you...
Dean, why is she talking so... Why is she talking so low?
Because she is very matter of fact that she is right and that you are wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. That cheesy music in the background, like, it's killing me. This is killing me, this one.
I think it really helps.
You had to wear a mask and all of it.
So good.
Here's the policies for KatsuCon.
Look at the smile.
I don't know if I said that right.
The arrow.
But take a look right here. You have to be vaccinated with your original series and wear a mask.
She really likes it.
There is no tolerance for bullying related to masks.
Don't bully me because I'm wearing a mask.
So it's
who would do that? I don't know anyone that would walk up to someone wearing a mask and call them out for it. I've only ever like looked to the person beside me and been like, really? A mask?
I got called out for not wearing one. I got shamed and
back then. But this person's talking about like this video came out recently.
Yeah,
and what she's saying is that concerts and big, you know, functions like conference centers and things like this should have to have everyone have their vaccine passports showing they've got two vax and wear a mask. Follow mask mandates still. There's, even though her president has said, we're done with that.
Crazy. I'm looking at the time too, man. We're almost at the top of the hour. Wow. This is flying by. Let's try to get a little bit more of this in before we get to break. I think we got like,
Well, I think we've got through all these people, right? So she's just going to give her closing statement on it. So why don't
we're good
this,
there.
Carhartt wearing toque lady, and then we can take a break.
All right, let's listen to this.
1 minute left.
Yeah, listen to the Duke lady here.
COVID mitigation policies into place.
God, she's creepy.
Except they won't. So if you start asking, it'll get people to start thinking about this rather than walking around thinking that everything is okay and succumbing to like anti-masker paranoia, right? They should be scared of us. They should be scared of the maskers, not the anti-maskers.
You know, I feel semi-bad because I feel like I'm being very mean to these people, but I do not care. It's your own damn fault. If you are living in this fear and this anxiety and you're angry at event organizers for not catering to your anxiety, that's your own damn problem. You are turning yourself into a victim. The rest of the world has left you behind and is moving on, and you're angry about it. Maybe acknowledge that first and have some damn self-awareness. Now, if you are somebody who is actually immunocompromised...
Hey, before we go to the break, let's make a point right there. It seems like if everyone just stopped acting like a victim, we'd move past a lot of issues really fast.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, but that's the scary part, is that people, they take on this victim mentality, and it becomes their identity, right? So then that's all they do. They live in this victim mentality. And we brought it up earlier in the hour that so many people are in this victim mentality. You were kind of bringing that up earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
The only time I ever made positive change in my life is when I faced something that was difficult, not took the easy way out.
Yeah. So that's
a long time
to
learn too. I only learned that a few years ago when I became an adult at 32.
Yeah, but at least you did. I mean, God, there's some people that are like 70 years old and never done the work. And I always say, you got to confront things that are difficult and go ahead on. But people just seem to want to like mask it or think if they don't look at it, it's going to go away. And that is not, like you said, that's not the way things get done. Like you have to confront it. So you make great points here. So, yeah, definitely we're almost at the top of the hour. We've got about a minute, so then we got a couple more here. We'll have to kind of pick through what we want to play here, but we'll think of something. We got a few clips here. Got one teen girl sues doctor for allowing her to transition at age 13. And then we have another – this one on the guy on the deck is really good. We should play that one about Trump. Mm-hmm. So then maybe, we'll bounce around here, guys. So we got a great second hour coming here. I do have my friend, my great friend, Dean. We're just having a conversation, watching some clips here and showing how crazy the world is, because it is crazy, guys. And you guys know that exactly what I'm talking about.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
pointing out the craziness, because it is crazy. And, and it's only going to get crazier too, as we've got other clips here that are just, I'm really interested to kind of get into the Trump thing, and because a lot of people are talking now, is he going to be arrested? So
that's
we go, guys. We will be back in about 5 minutes, so hang on, we'll be back for hour two.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom, at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right. Thanks for listening. Why don't we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope everybody had a good little break. We are in the crypt today. It is Monday, the start to a great week. I hope everybody is having the beginning to a great week. I know I am excited to be here, be with you guys. Welcome everyone in chat. And having a great conversation with my amazing friend, somebody I talk to every day, learned so much from, my friend Dean. Awesome to have you here, my friend, for my Monday show.
Oh, man. Awesome to be here.
I know. This is great.
Way more often.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're going to have a great show when we figure out what we're going to set it all up and what platform. We're probably going to have to go to Odyssey or Rumble or something like that, because I'm sure YouTube will have a heyday with us.
I like what Rumble's doing these days.
So. I do too. Yeah, and that's a good reminder. Thank you, Dean. Guys, please head over to my Rumble channel. I just started it. Well, I've had it for a while, but I'm starting to pay more attention to it, I should say. I have all my videos there that I have on YouTube, but I also have a lot of videos now on my Rumble channel that I couldn't put on YouTube because I knew they would get flagged. So I put them over on Rumble, guys, so please go check it out. Subscribe over there to me. I'm trying to build it up, and it's just simple to find it. It's Crypt Ricks. I've been thinking. It's all one word, so it's a long thing to type in, but Crypt Ricks, I've been thinking on Rumble. Please give it a look. Great interviews there, guys, that, like I said, ones that I can't post on YouTube. So that's probably where Dean and I are going to go. It's probably going to be Rumble, I would think, because I'm sure we'll get flagged, Dean, on YouTube.
I could put the clips up on YouTube, but
yeah, we can promote
stuff on Rumble.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and play. We got this one here. It is called Elon Musk. Trump will win in a landslide if arrested. That is the big talk right now. I don't even know if he's been arrested yet. So guys, forgive me if he has or hasn't, but this is definitely a hot topic. Is Trump going to get arrested? He seems to think he is. So Dean sent me this clip, and this is a cool guy. He's just sitting on his deck. I love it. Got a barbecue behind him, and he's just telling it like it is.
He's apparently a doctor.
Nice.
Got a million subscribers.
Wow. Dr. Steve Turley?
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, go there and check it out, guys, on YouTube. This is where we got this clip from. Like I said, Elon Musk, Trump will win in a landslide if arrested. So let's just make sure, Dean, let me know if you can hear it. And if we can, we're good to go. All right.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve. Perfect. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend, but I just had to weigh in on the breaking news. As I'm sure many of you know, Fox News is reporting that President Trump is expected to be arrested next week. Now, I want to reiterate that so we understand where our nation is right now under the Democrats. The former president of the United States is about to be arrested. Now, if you don't know, Trump is being investigated ad nauseum by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office over Trump's alleged payment of hush money to porn actress Stormy Daniels. As you know, they've been investigating this stuff for the past 5 years. But now it's being reported by Fox that the Attorney General's office is meeting with law enforcement to coordinate how to basically arrest a former president. Trump himself posted on Truth Social that he will indeed be arrested on Tuesday. Now, in terms of what's...
That's tomorrow. Yeah, you're right. What do you think? What are your thoughts on this?
I don't think the title's wrong, because... think about how many Trump supporters there still are. Mm-hmm. And if the other Republican nominees are weaker than Trump, then he's gonna have that vote. And if he gets arrested and gets out and still is able to run for president,
yeah,
I think he's gonna be pretty popular.
Well, I've talked to a few people and they're like, even if they do arrest him, he's gonna be out. No
oh, yeah,
time.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and then he's really got a hill to die on then. I mean, right. and you know, I was going to bring up a point, but it comes up in this clip. So I'll bring it up when we get to it. But let's keep going.
I don't
here.
Know the rules, though. Like if he gets arrested, can he even run for presidency again?
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to ask. I don't know. I mean, the way politics are now, I mean, I would probably think no, but. Yeah. Who knows now? I mean, like it's just nothing really makes sense anymore. But I will ask everyone in the chat here. Like, I'm not the politics guy, so I make no qualms about it, guys. Like, if he – let me know in the chat if you're listening. If he gets arrested, can he continue to run? Can he – I don't know. Like, I'd like to know. So let me know, guys.
Maybe Dr. Steve will tell us here.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's see here.
It's really happening here. I would argue this is it. This is the crossing of the Rubicon. This is the first time a president has ever been arrested in our nation's history. We obviously had a first when his house was raided by the FBI. That was bad enough. But now this is a point of no return. When you have a political party, the Democrat Party, fully embracing banana republic tactics like this, like arresting a former president, I mean, gang, that's it. That's it. I mean, there's just no going back after this. Now,
and that was the point that I remember me and you talked about just well yesterday, and then we talked about it again today, that if he does get arrested, this is a game changer.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
like
that's what I mean. It's going to solidify his base. So if he runs, they're not voting for anybody else. And with the way things are going, with all the lies that are coming out on the liberal side.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, man. It's a really weird time. I would say I used to be like socially liberal,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
but that's gone way too far now. And I would never associate myself with a lot of that stuff. Times are changing drastically.
And yeah. Like people are like all over the map now. Like, you know, like you're saying, like people are, they're shifting. Like there's
yeah,
this shift
people,
happening.
People are sick and tired of this. Of this regime in the White House right now. And mm-hmm. I don't think Biden will pull many votes being the age that he is and cognitive,
oh my God, I hope
cognitive
not.
Ability that he is, you know, showing.
I agree. Yeah. No doubt.
See how many, that's the, like, seems to be one of the number one topics, even amongst his own voters would be, you know, is he actually able to do this? So,
yeah, that's a good point. I mean, yeah.
Trump's not much younger. I don't even know if he is younger, but
he can still.
He sure acts it, and he mentally is clearly still all
that. I was just going to say that. Like, I mean, mentally, there's no comparison.
No.
Trump is on fire. Like, you put those two on a stage arguing, oh, my God. Like, you let Trump loose?
Now,
oh my God.
Biden, when he's pumped up on amphetamines, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, but can't really rely on his heart when you're doing that to him, you know?
Pumped up on amphetamines. I'm just picturing him giving him a shot and then kicking him out on the podium. Like, yeah, okay, give it to him.
And Adderall, too, so he can focus, you know? He's got to focus on that teleprompter because he really messed up a few times early on there.
Oh, yeah, I like the invisible handshake where he, like, shakes hands with nobody.
Yeah, I'm just like, and I think a lot what this guy's talking about when he says the Rubicon, you know, the, basically the point of no return is what he's trying to say, I think. I don't know what he's talking about there, but that sounds kind of dark. Like, remember all that stuff we heard about in the last couple of years about, you know, the next civil war and all this, you know?
Yep.
Well, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it just seems like every little thing is leading to something, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, there's way too much fuel for whatever fire's burning.
I agree, man. And we're not, and I've been saying this too, where people are not ready for a civil war. Like, we're just not in a mind state for it. And I don't think people realize, not. Like, yeah.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this is really interesting. I like this clip that you sent me yesterday. I found this really interesting.
Well, that said, don't expect the current crop of Republicans and their donor class to fight this. They'll be the pathetic pussies that they're all paid to be. Okay, we all know that the establishment GOP is controlled opposition as part of what's called virtual politics, where political roles are basically scripted out by the media. And so the arrest of a former president, even the de facto leader of their party, isn't going to get any major pushback from these highly paid pussies. Forget them. No, this
that guy, if he says it again,
this
I'm
is a guarantee
it.
That the grassroots, the rank and file, the tens of millions of patriots who voted for Trump twice will have no sympathy, no restraint whatsoever in their goal of totally and completely wiping out the Democrats as a majority political power in our nation. Yeah. Now, that's exactly what Elon Musk is saying. That's what Scott asked.
What's that?
That's what I was trying to say, but he just did it way better. But you're right. I don't know. I don't know if he goes on cursing at all.
I know. I try to keep it. Keep it at a minimum. I do apologize, guys. I mean, it's nothing huge, but
no,
we're all adults here. But I do want to keep it as clean as I can. I think he's good from here. But if he does, we got other clips. So.
Adams is saying
he does make good
Robbie
points.
Starbucks tweeted out.
Pause it there
this
for
will,
a second.
Yep.
So someone in the chat says felons can't run, right?
Right.
The DA thinks that misdemeanors, you know, could equal up to a felony. But I'm guessing that this flippy guy thinks that no, that's not true. And it says that Biden also can't get hooked, also gets hooked up to AI. You're right. Because he needs to power up his nanos, right? Because he's got all these little nanorobots inside that are keeping him going.
That's so true. So, and then I'm looking at Mr. Rose Art here. If you look at it, he does great, this AI art here.
Awesome, yeah.
And that's where, remember we did that thumbnail for my shows with the skull. Then that's who did it for me. It was
Yeah,
and I, like, this is really cool. Mr. Rose, if you're listening, that is really cool, dude. Like the ones that you just posted in the chat. Wow. That is so cool. Anyways, I got to get back to this. Hold on. I'm sitting there looking at the art, just admiring it. So
I can't stop staring at that being in the control room. That's really cool. Okay.
Isn't that really, that is a real, I know I'm looking at it too. And I'm like, wow, that is awesome. All right. Yeah.
Well, backfire spectacularly. Scott Adams tweeted out, if they handcuff Trump, he is your next president. And Elon Musk tweeted out that if Trump is arrested next week, he is going to win 2024 in a landslide. And I think these guys are absolutely right here. There is no way that these Democrat chumps would even be giving Trump the time of day if they didn't think he was going to crush Biden in the general election. They know how weak Biden is politically, and they are basically admitting here that they believe Trump is far stronger electorally. So what it looks like we'll be seeing this coming week is the confirmation, corroboration of everything that Trump and the MAGA movement has been saying about the swamp in D.C. We have a two-tier justice system where there are rules for thee, but not for me. I mean, everyone now is going to see it. We've got, look, Hunter Biden's walking free. even though the FBI had his laptop and everything on it since 2019. We got Biden caught with classified materials he had no clearance to take. He illegally held them. You got Hunter's email clearly stating that 10% of millions of dollars from a Chinese energy firm were to go to the big guy, Joe Biden. Of course, big guy comes up dozens of times in a word search throughout Hunter Biden's laptop emails, and it always refers to Sleepy Joe. And on top of it all,
you know what's crazy, Dean, is that if we did any of this, they would throw us so far under the jail.
Not even us. Could you just imagine it was flipped?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's a good point.
All that stuff that Biden has done, you know, if Trump had got caught doing exactly what Biden's done while he was president.
Yeah. It's just, and he's so right. Like, rules for thee, you know, but not, you know, for, like what he said, rules for thee, not for we or whatever. There's definitely two sets of rules going on here, and that is the problem. I always say that's the problem. They're not held to the same standards. Like, I mean, they can do whatever they want, basically. And then you got us people, you know, we can't do anything. We did any of this stuff. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We'd be buried. Well,
there's so much. There's so much politically, too. Like, what he's talking about, from my understanding, is there's all these people on the left that are helping out people on the left because they're in power right now. And if there's people on the right that are politicians who are not, you know, getting in with the system and making deals and helping out who's in power right now, mm-hmm. then they get different rules. They get treated different. And, it's almost like, yeah, well, that's what happened to citizens forever.
Yep.
Right. It's what's happened to poor versus the rich forever.
Absolutely.
And, but now it's happening very, very blatantly. It seems like right in front of everybody, but they do such a good job with all the little social quarrels that they distract us with that mm-hmm. no one really pays attention to all this stuff until it's too late.
Yep, it's too late, and it blows up, and then everybody's kind of running around shocked, and meanwhile, everybody that's been talking about it is like, we've been talking about this forever. Where have you guys been? But nobody pays attention. You know, like, and I'm just reading it. Flippy Left is in the chat. He asked, I don't know if you know this. Maybe you don't. I don't. What's been done to prevent more election fraud since 2020? Like, what do you think? Have you heard anything? Like, how are they going to, what do you think? How are they going to deal with the election fraud?
I don't know, man. Like, it just seems like AI is now, it's come so far that they're probably going to be using that now. They've got all these other tactics they've always used.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it, but it's
like, who's watching? Yeah. Like, who's checking in on that to make sure it's all above board. And, you sent me a video too, a couple days ago about AI, or I sent it to you. One of us sent it to you. Mm-hmm. And it was showing, they were talking about AI and how powerful it is in these, programs like the Google program and that, and they were asking them questions, asking this AI program the question, like, really, you know, disturbing questions, but the answers they got back was really creepy. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, wow. Like, and I remember Elon Musk, you know, years ago saying that that's the one thing that he's worried about is AI. Like, that's the thing that we should not be really messing around with. And I think that has weight when somebody like that says that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's quite obvious when, as soon as you hear, like, the rate that AI is progressing, it's mm-hmm. not going to be long before it's smarter than any group of people could ever be, and instantaneously, right?
And then they they've made no way to shut it off. Like, I just know how humanity is. They'll be like, just pull the plug. Oh, we didn't think of that, or something like that. There's
gonna be no way. AI just infects the whole internet and takes over everything.
And then what do you do then? I mean, yeah, like, anyways, I don't even want to think about it.
How does that not happen? You know, it seems like that's inevitable.
It has to, like, I mean, yeah, because even if you put in fail safe switches, if it's that smart, it's going to instantly figure a way around it.
Well, even there's always going to be people who don't follow the rules.
Yeah, and then you're going to give the power to AI, where like these answers that it was saying is that, like, you know, if we have to, we're going to wipe out humanity if it gets in our way. Like, that video really was one of those videos that after I watched it, I was a little worried. I was like, wow.
Yeah, you sort of sit back and you think, well, every other problem in the world seems very minuscule to this one. You know?
Yep.
What's the point in worrying about anything else right now?
Yeah.
Is the ticking time bomb, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, I just really think we're really messing with something that should be really monitored and really done slowly. But that's not how people are. They want to rush it along. And we saw that with COVID, the vaccine and that, rush it along. And then when it's all said and done, they're going to be like, oh, we should have maybe not went as quick, but the damage is already done.
Yeah. And the human species has a pretty good track record of fixing things when they're the worst instead of preventative measures. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So true, man. So true. You're not lying. You're that's dead on what you're saying.
Well, you got the Biden administration, according to a very impressive investigative report by the Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Seymour Hersh, illegally blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines. Right. Note, isn't it interesting that, and frankly revealing, that there's no major official inquiry launched by the United States into who blew those pipelines up? Of course, because we did it. And we're not even bringing up Hillary Clinton here, you know, from getting caught with classified material on a private email server to lying about Trump and Russian collusion based on a phony, fabricated dossier that her campaign bought and paid for and that was used to justify wasting tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer money in an utterly superfluous federal investigation. This will be for everyone to see, a blatant exhibition of what we call weaponized legalism, the using of the law to punish one's political opponents. It's as third world banana republic as you can get. And it is a crossing of the Rubicon. It is a point of no return for our nation. And from this point forward, our politics are basically now a matter of existential survival. And of course, that's how the left has been seeing it since 2016, since the rise of Trump. As we've seen with the utterly propagandistic legacy media, they collectively believe that Trump is an existential threat to the very survival of the liberal order, both here and abroad. And so they're doing everything they possibly can to take him out. But what are they actually ending up doing? They're only guaranteeing their own demise. They're only guaranteeing a populist revolt rising up like never before overthrow the entire liberal system. And it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And with the potential arrest of President Trump, that when looks like it just got a whole lot sooner. God bless.
There you go. And I would also add on, Dean, that he said that if it does happen, it's a turning point for the country. I would even go as far as to say that if this arrest does happen, it's a turning point for humanity and the world. This is
everything. Yeah, everything is so global these days. Like,
yeah,
the world. Actually, we know a lot less about what's going on in the world than the world knows about what's going on here.
You know, very true.
They laugh about how much of a bubble we live in.
Yeah, you're right too, man. And I just really think. Hold on here. Jeez, I just hit something. I didn't think that was going to play. That's going to be our next clip, though. So I mean, we got three more. So. We got, you wanted to actually kind of touch on.
I think we just do those two. I think we just do the two.
These two? Right. Okay. Because, yeah, you wanted to kind of show the different points of view from the news. So we got Fox News and MS. Yeah,
let me explain this one if you don't mind.
All right. Yeah, take her.
So what I thought, my idea was we sort of come in blind. We haven't watched these. We know that there won't be any kind of weird language or anything because they are like mainstream news.
That's true. That's a good thing.
Clips. So, but. What we wanted to do is get something from both sides of the aisle. So we did MSNBC. We got their take on what's going to go down with the Trump arrest. And then we did Fox News and we got their take on what's going to go down with the Trump arrest. We tried to pick titles that seemed similar without actually diving into them too much to see what they were really about. So
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
It'd be kind of nice to see something from the left, something from the right.
If you and we do that a lot.
Right these days, they're sort of like center.
That's true.
But, there's a lot of people that are way more right than them, but I mean, they really the only representation that you have when it comes to the mainstream. So,
well, it's a good point too, because you will do that sometimes when we're sitting on when we're talking and we're on the step. You'll play like one side, and then you're like, okay, now let's go ahead and listen to the other side. To me, that's fascinating.
No matter where you fall, you need to listen to the other side.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you'll often find there's things that you agree with.
All right. Well, so you want me to play the, what do you think, the Fox one first? Oh.
Yeah, I'd say the.
All right, there you are.
Sorry. And I pulled my mic cord there a little bit. Is it all right?
Yeah, you're perfect.
Yeah, either one, man. Either one. I don't think it's going to matter.
All right. We'll play the Fox one first. So this is why. So this one's called it. This is why a possible Trump arrest is shocking. And Mark Smith. All right, let's give it. I have no idea what this is about, like, except for the title. So let's give it a go.
Let us bring in constitutional attorney and former member of President Trump's transition team, Mark Smith. Mark, great to have you on the program. Look, we all want to know the timeline on this. There's a craving to figure out what the heck is going on here. So walk us through what you think happens in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Well, there's no way to know for sure, of course, because grand jury proceedings are secret. We know they're ongoing. At some point, of course, the grand jury has to wrap up its business. The way that works, Todd, is that the prosecutor asks the grand jury to vote on an indictment. As to when that occurs, that's entirely within the discretion of the prosecutor. But one thing to keep in mind, we're talking about a civil settlement payment that apparently was made in October of 2016. That's a whole lot of years ago. So one wonders at one point, is the prosecutor going to start to worry about having statute of limitations concerned and need to rush things along to a finale? That assumes, of course, that they seek to indict President Trump. Which,
you see Trump's face on that last one?
Yeah, that was
lined
good.
Up with, like, he's like looking at the camera like, statute of limitations. Try me.
That's a good point they bring up, though. Like,
yeah,
is that
who knows?
Play effect? I don't know.
Like, you might know something. He's a former attorney for Trump, so
yeah,
know a
I'm
little
really
bit
curious.
About what he's talking about, but I mean, they'll say anything. It is the news, like I said.
Yeah, I know exactly.
We don't know who's telling the truth these days.
I always think that the truth is somewhere kind of in the middle. Hopefully,
I used to be able to read between the lines. Sometimes it's just you find out later. But that makes sense, right? That makes sense that they're, why haven't they done this sooner? Why now do they finally think they have something? And that's what I think we're going to find out tomorrow.
Yeah, I am curious. And I'm sure a lot of people are, like, is it going to happen? Or so I'm going to be, you know, definitely keeping an eye on that, as I'm sure you will.
Oh, yeah. And I'll let you know as soon as I find it tomorrow.
Exactly. You'll probably be way ahead of it on me and before me, and then I'll get the gist of what's going on. But I am curious, like, to be honest, and for me in politics, that's rare that I'm actually curious about something. So I'm going to be, let's see what happens. Who knows? I don't know. I really don't.
A lot of news reports about it. It still hasn't occurred. And until it occurs, well, we don't know what's going to happen.
There you go.
I mean, as you said, there's no evidence that he's going to be arrested. He said he's going to be arrested tomorrow. But what happens if he is arrested? What message does that send?
Well, it's really a shocking message. Right now, there are over 3,000 counties in the United States. And I bring that up because the Manhattan District Attorney is a single elected official in a single one of those 3,000 counties in the United States. So to create a precedent where a single state county elected official has effectively the veto power over who could become the next president of the United States for the entire country is kind of shocking, especially when the sorts of crimes that we appear to be investigating here from all reports seem to be, shall we say, ticky-tack kind of things that in most instances might give rise to a civil dispute between a person and, like, the IRS or maybe the Federal Election Commission, but certainly rising to the level of an actual crime where someone would be arrested and possibly have to go to jail seems quite shocking based on all this stuff, especially since it looks like, you know, Donald Trump is the most investigated person probably in the history of the United States. He has been for many years.
That's so
and
true.
Now we have a single county official trying to potentially to indict him. It seems kind of a shocking situation as far as I'm concerned.
Mark, some are saying the timing of all this is pretty suspicious, considering the timing of Republicans' investigation into the Biden family business. We just learned some Biden family members.
Yeah, you were just saying that.
Maybe they're trying to do a tit for tat kind of thing, and it's going to blow up in their face because this isn't going to help them make Trump look bad. Maybe to their voters, but that's not what they need to do. They need to try and steal voters. I don't think they have enough. You know, I don't think the Biden side has enough voters this time around.
So you think they're playing a dangerous game then?
I think they're playing. Yeah, I think if that was them trying to make Trump look bad, then you think he doesn't have the best lawyers, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think he'd probably have better lawyers than the government, right?
I think so, too. And I think I really do think that he's already like, if he's saying that, like he knows he's
going to
be.
He's going to be arrested, right? He wouldn't say that unless, you know, it's like he's got to paint himself as the hero, right? So he's going to tell people, look, I'm going to be arrested, right? And then he's going to spend like an hour at a police station and he's going to be set free. And he's going to be like, look at that. They couldn't hold me.
Yeah. And then he's going to, you know, he's going to blow up. So
I'm the greatest at not being arrested.
Yeah. And he's going to blow up and go right on social media and just start really going at it and poking the bear and stuff. And I can see that too. He's not going to be quiet about it. That's for sure.
No.
Interesting.
Maybe it'll be like an Andrew Tate thing, though, and we just never hear from him again. And he's just in prison forever.
Wow. Yeah, wouldn't that be crazy? Oh, my God. Well, like I said, a lot's going to be answered. I mean, but what's crazy is if he doesn't get arrested? Like, what if the tomorrow comes?
Nothing, what if it just, like, blows over and nothing happens?
Yeah. Then people will I wonder what people will be saying then. Like, they'll probably say that he bought people off or I mean, they got to make him the villain for sure. So
Let's get through this one.
All right.
Paid over $1 million total from a Chinese wire. Miranda Devine writing in a New York Post op-ed the following, quote, for the Democrat spin machine, it was a time for a Trump scandal. Always their tactic in a break glass in case of emergency moment like this, guaranteed to distract media attention and keep voters in the dark about the real scandal swirling around Biden. Your thoughts on that take?
Wow.
Well, certainly, I think one of the biggest stories we've learned from the Trump era is to the great extent,
you can tell they don't like Biden, and they're not showing that they're for Trump, but they're not showing that they're against Trump either, right?
Yep.
So it seems like they're being neutral on Trump and they're being hard on Biden, which I agree with, but I would say that's definitely, you know, they're not playing the middle of the aisle, and Fox never really has.
Yeah, I was just going to say they never have. So this doesn't really surprise me at all.
No, all right. They didn't change. They didn't change. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. They're definitely got their line in the sand and they're not changing.
Yeah.
So very curious. Yeah.
That the media, the legacy media, is really works with the Democrats on messaging. And I think that the big story out of all these issues with the Bidens is not necessarily that someone's done something right or wrong. It's the fact that it appears to have been kept hidden from the American public during that run-up to the 2020 presidential election. Now, whether
that's
or not
Twitter
someone did anything right or wrong or good or bad, that's...
Oh, really? Okay.
So yeah, Twitter he's talking files. About the, how the liberals... We're putting pressure on social media to censor conservative talking points and sort of make some people look bad, cancel some accounts, all that kind of stuff, right?
Okay, gotcha.
And it's just been proven that that's a fact, that was happening.
Absolutely.
I think they also said that there were some conservatives. Sorry. I think they also said there were some conservatives. It wasn't purely liberal, but it was like... heavily weighted towards.
I was going to say, it's definitely leaning more to the others. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Towards Biden's camp of people. Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Okay.
It really is something, the sort of thing that Americans might have wanted to know about before they went to the polls to elect their president in 2020. And I think that's kind of the big story about all this, is why are we learning about this now, almost, you know, over 2 years in to the Joe Biden presidency?
Joe Biden says this is all not true. The documents unearthed by James Comer would say otherwise. Mark Smith, thank you very much for all your insight on both of those topics.
I'm Steve.
Interesting. Wow. So we got Fox's side here.
Yep.
Well, what's going on? And so then we definitely got to check out this one, which is MSNBC. And this one, let's see, this clip is called Donald Trump claims he'll be arrested Tuesday in connection to hush money investigation.
So right there, you end it right in the title. They're already, so one of them, one says it, what it is that he paid off Stormy Daniels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, they're calling it hush money. Like he's a gangster.
Jeez, yeah, I'm just reading Mr. Rowe in the chat. He said, if a president were to go to prison, would the Secret Service still be with him? Because they get life protection. That's a good point. Like this, that's yeah, see point. That mess?
Yeah.
Like this is yeah, just going to be a mess. Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? Trump supporters rioting in the streets. Couldn't ask for a better distraction on World Collapse Day. Jeez. See what I mean? There's some crazy times.
Yeah.
And I'm just really curious if they're going to actually, like, do this. But that's a great point. Like, does he get Secret Service?
Yeah, I'm just, like, wondering, like, what – maybe a Secret Service guy's going to commit some crime so that he can go in there and just, like, out of, like, you know, takes his job really serious, and he's like, there's no one in there to defend my president. Like,
I got to go in and take care of him. Yeah. Jeez, this is crazy. So, yeah, so we got to listen to this. So this is a mess. We got, okay, and how long is this one? Oh, we're good. All right. I'm just keeping it, trying to keep
it. Yeah, I picked two short ones because I didn't want to take up too much time with this.
Yeah, and well, this will get, if they want to, people want to find more, it's not hard, guys. We're just, like I said, me and Dean just pulled these. We didn't even get a chance. We didn't want to watch them. We just want to kind of hear them with you guys and react along with you guys. So we just basically heard, we're hearing this for the first time too. So I'm curious to see how the MSNBC is going to play this. So let's fire this one up.
Jill, let's start with you. Important to note, several legal steps before a defendant is considered indicted. Walk us through those steps. And if there is indeed an indictment, how do you expect Trump to proceed?
Let me start with the second part of it, which is if he is indicted, I expect him to self-surrender. He will not be arrested. As he said, illegal leaks say that I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday. I guarantee you there will be no arrest procedure and that the only leaks came from him. In terms of the process, the grand jury will determine, based on the facts and the law as explained to them by the DA, whether to indict or not. Once he's indicted and the arrangements are made for him to surrender, he will be fingerprinted, he will have a mugshot taken, and an arraignment will be arranged. I also don't expect that there will be any bail required, that he'd be released on his own recognizance, but there may be some restrictions on his activities.
Wow. How long, Dean, till if they do go through with this, how long till the mugshots of him are leaked? I mean,
yeah.
They'll be out within like, I'm sure.
So many memes.
Oh, I can just see the meme war going on, but I'm really curious to like, see, I want guys to think, people that are listening, think about that. If it does happen and he does get arrested, he's got to go in for his mugshots. I'm guessing within 48 hours, somebody's going to leak those. Like they're going to be everywhere.
That won't take long.
No, it'll be well. Actually, he'd probably be paying them.
There's probably lots of people that already have like a meme already laid out, which is a blank background, just ready for that picture to slide in.
Yeah, they got all the type, they got it all texted in, and all the script is in there and everything. And they just need the mugshot.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That's what I thought when I heard that. Though I'm like, geez, I wonder how long. All right.
Speech is not normally restrained, but in this case where he has basically said protest, and we know that based on January 6th that the protest can be deadly.
Oh my
There
gosh.
May be some restrictions.
See where they're going with this already?
Yeah. So they're saying that he used the word protest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he used the word protest on that fateful, that horrible stain on American history. It's as bad as Pearl Harbor and as bad as the towers.
Wow.
January 6th, the insurrection.
That's
which
what
we
I mean.
Know now, which we know now is a complete joke, right?
Yeah, that
one,
was
one
crazy.
Person got shot by a trigger-happy cop and one police officer died later. mm-hmm. due to some heart condition. And you know what? It was probably myocarditis, and they're saying that he died at that riot.
Yep. Yeah, right. Yeah, that footage, I remember.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I don't mean to laugh, but like that's how willing they are to play with somebody.
Yeah.
Because that's come out now that guy was a Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And they yep. used him. They used him and made it look like he was murdered by Trump supporters. And he wasn't.
Yeah, like I remember seeing the footage, like Tucker's releasing the footage slowly, and I remember me and you looking at it, and it was just like, wow. Like, I mean,
yeah, and pretty soon some other people will get that footage, right? Like, it's gonna eventually make its way mm-hmm. out of Fox's hands into other people's hands too.
Yeah, but what a difference when you see that footage, though.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, oh, yeah. Really? Like, I mean, like the story that everybody was hearing and they were promoting and everybody has been hearing since it happened, and then they start showing this leaked footage. And you're just like, wow. And that's what bothers me, Dean, is that didn't you see how they're willing to lie?
Yeah, just the fact that they brought it up. I say MSNBC loses this battle of bias.
Exactly.
The fact that they even brought January 6th into this, I'd say it just shows what they're – that's all – they're just a broken record. They'll never talk about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They need to drill that into people's heads, even though there's now video showing what – it's probably true. I mean, you can mess around with videos these days, but that looked pretty legit.
Yeah.
And it's a hell of a lot more legit than what they said happened, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy that they brought that up. All right, well, let's see where else we're going to go with this.
To use social media for that purpose. And then a trial date will be set and discovery will be had and there will be a trial. And under all the rules of due process that he is entitled to, the evidence will be presented. And I think that based on what we have seen so far, that there is a very strong case and a very high probability that he would be convicted.
All right, we're going to come back to that question. I promise you. It strikes me that on Friday we had NBC News reporting that multiple law enforcement agencies were preparing for the possibility. Tell me what your sources are telling you about what that could look like.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually in response to that NBC report that Trump went to Truth Social and decided he was going to send out a post. I think it kind of reflects the anxiety in Trump world right now, and especially with Trump himself. You know, they like to make a big point about how, you know, this is going to help his campaign. It's going to bring in campaign financing dollars. It probably will. But I think there is an element here where Trump is genuinely afraid. And the fact that he's going on Truth Social and now calling for protests, I think that is something that law enforcement is going to take very seriously. We've heard already that the Secret Service is taking that very seriously. They don't want a repeat of January 6th and the fact that it has...
Oh, yeah, because BLM protesters can burn down cities, but...
It just bothers me.
You cannot talk about freedom anymore. If you talk about freedom, you're a terrorist.
Exactly. I was just going to say that basically that's what I was going to say. And then the fact that they're throwing that in there again, they throw those little things in January 6th and that, and they count on people not investigating things. Right. And then people hear that and immediately they get the reaction that they want. So that's the second time in this clip that they've thrown that in there.
Yeah.
Got to keep reminding people, keep reminding them. Like, breathe, breathe. There we go.
I think has put the Secret Service especially on high alert.
And we're going to be talking with Frank Favuzzi a little later in the show about the contours of what that preparation looks like. But Jennifer, I want to ask you, you had Michael Cohen saying this about holding Trump accountable earlier today on MSNBC. Take a listen.
Today I was with a friend of mine for lunch. Super, super bright guy, well-educated. And his comment to me was very similar to what the question that you're asking. How is it that this ticky-tock type of a case is going to be the first impression that we have as Americans for a president to be indicted? First time in U.S. history. Again, the answer is the law is the law. The same way under the Capone, the Al Capone theory. They couldn't get him for murder, racketeering, extortion. They couldn't get him for bootlegging or any of the other crimes. They got him for this because... Rest assured, Alvin Bragg is not making a mistake.
That's the only thing Trump's ever done. Like, he actually only ever paid off Stormy Daniels and grabbed someone. Well, he allegedly said, and I grabbed her by her, you know.
Yeah.
Like, what else has he really done? You know?
Jeez. Yeah, it's so true.
Other than not go to war with Ukraine.
Good point.
You didn't do that.
Yep. I'm really curious now. You've definitely got, like, now that I've been learning more about this and kind of the back and forth, it does become interesting. I get why people do this.
Like, no one gets where Trump is without some bodies behind him. You know, I mean, he's screwed over a lot of people, I'm sure.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, they're all compromised.
No more than any other president, and probably exactly. A lot less than most, because he spent a lot less time in politics.
Exactly, and you don't get into, I've always said, you don't get into this level of politics. Like, I know in school they say, oh, if you want to be prime minister or president, you know, if you work hard, you can get there. No, they have dirt on you.
I was just going to say, yeah, if you want to become president, then have a billionaire have dirt on you.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. You don't get that high if you don't have some dirt on you. Just fact, people. Don't hate the messenger. But that's the truth.
If you want to be a good person, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Sorry, just have to sneak that in there.
It's so true, though. I mean, you snuck it in perfect too. Like, you want to do the right thing. Oh boy.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Oh, if you agree with that analysis, but I also want to make sure I get you in on what we have heard from Republicans, from Kevin McCarthy to Mike Pence.
Well, starting with that, it's reprehensible. They know exactly what happened on January 6th. They know that this is a call to their most extreme supporters. Now, I think they're going to be badly disappointed because many of the supporters are in jail right now. This has not been building. There's no big lead up to organize this. So whatever protests break out, I certainly hope and expect would be very sporadic and very small. So he may be embarrassed, frankly, after having called for people to protest. As far as McCarthy and the others, it is really reprehensible. They certainly know, what has.
What's that?
She likes the word reprehensible.
Well, it's a fancy word and makes her sound smart. And other people will be going, what is she talking about? It's a big word. All right.
Transpired before. Are they joining in inciting a riot? My goodness, Mike Pence was the one whose life was put in jeopardy. And he's the one who is now trying to suggest that this is a political prosecution that is somehow improper in some fashion. So all of those Republicans who are speaking out are really acting just as they did on January 6th, which is spanning a lie, inciting potential violence, showing contempt for the law. And it really is reprehensible. Nancy Pelosi had a statement to that effect. And I would hope that the Senate Majority Leader and the House Minority Leader do as well. And I would hope that law enforcement responds that it is never appropriate to use violence or to try to intimidate prosecutors.
Before I pivot to Georgia, which I am desperate to do, Hugo, because...
All right, pause right here. Yeah. It just really seems like a lot of these people in this video are very, like, not professional. They all actually seem a little bit crazy if you look at their eyes. Like, they're like, they wouldn't do well in normal society, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They all seem like they're on something.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. Like,
they could look at all of them. They all look
something
like just odd, you know?
Yeah, you guys got to check it out. Type that in, guys, if you can bring up YouTube. Just go to Donald Trump claims he'll be arrested Tuesday in connection to Hush Money investigation. That's MSNBC. And you will see what we're talking about. Kind of go to the end and these guests. And
just look at them. You don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah,
just
go at the beginning, too.
People in this video, and they just don't seem – they just seem like actors.
Yeah, you're right, too, because I'm kind of – especially the one that reprehensible. That she said she got it in three times.
I think she has a right now she's got a speech app on her desktop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she had reprehensible with three check boxes, and every time she said one, it like did a check, so she she was really liking that, and she got it three.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
It's like, and then she's trying to stuff it in as she.
I used it three times, just like I wanted to.
I'm just picturing that too. Like she's like, oh, gotta get it in one more time. I gotta get it in. Oh my God, that's funny. All right, let's go away. We got another couple minutes.
Another minute.
All right, cool.
I want to remind us all that we have sort of multiple avenues here to accountability. You had some new reporting this week about prosecutors in New York.
Yeah, so we learned that the Southern District of New York, the U.S. Attorney's Office there, was investigating Trump's social media company, or the parent company, Trump Media, and what they were looking at was potential money laundering, because there was $8 million in emergency loans that Trump Media got in 2021 and 2022 that appeared to have ties back to Russia. And the ties basically just go through the people who control these various offshore entities. It goes back to a relation of a Putin ally called Alexander Smirnov. He's now currently the head of Rosmoport in Kaliningrad in Russia. And he is a close ally of Vladimir Putin. And from what we understand off the U.S. Attorney's Office, here in New York got a tip. They started investigating those payments.
Oh, my gosh. Someone's an ally of a friend of a very powerful person. And that ally is a billionaire who does a lot of investing. I bet you there's a lot of Americans on both sides of the aisle that work with that guy.
Wow.
To, like, draw that conclusion and say that, like, that... It's unbelievable, especially when their own party is like has propped up a warmonger.
You know, I know. I'm literally speechless.
Like they took out a whole like government and replaced it with this like super corrupt like white supremacy thing that's going on over there. And but no, someone's the bad guy because he invested with somebody who knows somebody else.
Yeah. And somebody in the chat makes a great point. Rabbit makes a great point that these reporters are under satanic ritual or satanic influence. And it is why they lie so easily. Hey.
That's why they look the way they do too on these videos, you know?
Yeah. Like they really do.
Like they're under a spell or they're scared of saying the wrong thing, you know?
Well, yeah, because that's the look that I was getting when we were watching it. I was like, they look like they're not even, like, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home look. Like, they're just kind of like, they're just staring and they're not blinking and they're, and then just, you get this, that feeling. And they make a great point in the chat room. Absolutely. Like, we've covered that too. I've covered that a lot about the satanic agenda. I've done many shows on my YouTube channel and interviewed people that are really, working with people that are SRA victims and stuff, and
I like this popsicle toast. They are the reprehensible ones, and they know it. that reprehensible is that's a word of the day, everybody.
That's gonna be the word. Yeah, I got to try to sneak that in every conversation today, at least in a few sentences. It's like that's reprehensible. But yeah, it's so true. Like it's funny that you pointed that out too. Like, look at what they look like. I wish people could see. Hopefully they'll go on YouTube and check it out.
Oh, they know. I think most people in your chat that stick around at this point in the show, they know what these reporters look like.
Yeah. And the same with the politicians. We're the
ones, me and you are the ones who are learning catching up right now. And I think it's probably refreshing for them to see people who are just hopping into it.
Yeah, and, it's the word of the day.
Finding out all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's so true. That's the word of the day.
I hope that our views and us getting involved in the political conversation is maybe what some of these people wanted. I think it's what you needed.
Yeah, I definitely, like I was saying at the beginning, I've stayed away from, and not because I'm fearful of talking about it or anything. That's not it at all. It's just that I've known from a very young age that it's all theater. And I'm like, I've had people guilt me into like, I can't believe you don't vote and you're part of the problem. And I'm just like, I'm not voting. It doesn't matter. Like, they already know who's going to win. They already have the next 10 years picked. They already know what's going on. And, you know, they know. So what does it matter? I mean, it makes you think you have a choice, but that's the whole illusion that they're pulling on people, is that they make us believe they give us this illusion of choice, and that there's illusion of two sides, and there's not. And so I've never really went into I've never really gave politics much, and that, you know, that might be a detriment to me, and maybe that's something I need to work on. Maybe I should be looking at this because, you know, somewhere there's the truth, I would think. And if you weed through it all, there's some truth. What do you think? Like, I don't know. I'm learning, guys.
There's so much out there. I think that we're at a really, really cool time, actually. There's a whole lot of terrible stuff going on. But the lies are ever prevalent. And they're actually easier to spot these days. There's so many people talking about it. And it seems like there's a lot. Yep. Like, yeah, there's a whole lot of people that are just firm against an open mindset. You know, they say they're the open ones, that they're woke and all this, right? Mm-hmm. But we know that that's not true.
We do, yeah. And we are at a good point. I think you made a great point.
Because there's a lot of people on a lot of different platforms that tell the truth and verify it, you know, with verifiable sources that go in depth and really teach people about what's happening.
Yeah. You make a good point, and then that's the thing. That's why it's so important, I think, for people to get out there and start, you know, in whatever way they can. I always say, like, maybe some people don't want to do a podcast. They don't, or they're not comfortable. It's just something they don't want to do. But there's got to be a way that people can get the knowledge they have out, whether they, you know, they write it. I don't know. Think everybody's good at something, and I think you can do that. And that's what we need, is more people out there exposing this stuff, because it's, you make a good point, Dean. Like, I think, you know, I've heard people say we're at this point where it could go either way. And a lot of people, I think, are starting to, like, kind of be like, what is going on here? Like, they're seeing how big the lie is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And how deep it goes too. Like,
yeah,
so
it seems like in the last few years, there was this huge, like, boom of a bunch of people saying they were woke, but mm-hmm. in the last 6 months, it really seems like people have actually started to wake up, and it's not the same people that were calling themselves woke. It's everyday people that go to work and just want their family and their friends to not be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They just want to do their thing, and then they don't want to pay double for something. They don't want to have to worry about their heat. They don't want to worry about the future. And that's really all it is. It's just a whole bunch of people who are sort of worried that weren't worried before.
And you're right. Again, you make a good point too. It's a great way to end the show, is that, you know, at one time there, you had the left and the right and then the center. But as you were telling me, we talked about it a lot actually, that those lines are starting to kind of, you know, change. Like everything, it's kind of moving, that it's not so cut and dry anymore. It's not, the lines aren't so clear. That people are actually kind of, somebody that was hardcore left it, now they're not. It's changing. Like you kind of sum it up better than I can.
No, that's right. There's definitely a weird shift. Going on right now, where there's a lot of people who are like, hey, whoa. I was down with all that stuff where we all wanted to be equal when it came to what we were able to try and do with our lives. And, mm-hmm. and we were all cool with everybody doing something as long as it wasn't hurting anybody else, right?
Yep.
But now there's so much stuff where everyone's trying to brainwash each other, tell each other what to do, what to say, how to think.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who just are like, whoa. I stopped agreeing with you a little while ago. I'm just gonna hop off this train.
Good point, man.
Definition.
There we go. We are at the end, guys. Thank you so much for once again being here. Defend Perspective is next, man. Check it out. Thank you, Dean, for being here. Thank you in chat, and I will see you soon.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here.